You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. Our next guest keeps his eye on Suicide Basin and Mendenhall Lake for what's known as hidden water behind glacial dams and their outburst. Welcome, hydrologist and meteorologist Aaron Jacobs. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much for being here today. Would you please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do?
Yeah, so my name's Aaron Jacobs. I'm the senior service hydrologist for the National Weather Service in Juneau. And my role is to keep everyone aware of any type of flooding impacts and making sure that the information is clear and concise and people can take action.
So it is that time of year again. Have we had any jaculops this summer?
Actually, we have. We've had two of them so far in the local area. The one that goes off on the Taku River when released right around early July. And that's from Lake No Lake up on the Tulsquaw River. And that was a minor flooding event, but nothing too serious for the folks out on the Taku River. And then last week, we had a Suicide Basin drain into Mendenhall Lake, and it was a minor event. Went up to about bankful level, what we would say. Nothing really was flooded except for some trails along the east side of Mendenhall Lake and going out to the waterfall out there.
Got it. And were you... And your team, those who you work with, were you able to predict both of those before they happened?
It's really hard to predict before they happen, but we have indicators and a team of people that let us know when certain conditions are seemingly looking like a glacier dam outburst flood. So we had folks up on the Taku contact us, let us know that there was a change in the river conditions, and then we kind of look at the river gauges that the USGS has on Taku River, and we were able to do so. Yes, there's outburst flood going on, and from our historical information, we were able to put out a forecast, which was a little bit higher than what actually happened, but we kind of want to be on the safe side for sure on these type of events. And then on Mendenhall Lake on the Suicide Basin, we have a monitoring program set up in the basin, so conjunction with UAS, City and Borough of Juneau, USGS. We have some cameras set up within the basin so we can see what's going on in the basin, how much water is in there, how much ice is being lifted up, and we can see when that water starts draining. And so when our forecasters are monitoring these pages and the public, you can see when that water starts draining in the imagery, and you can see that's when the outburst flood is happening. And so then we take out the levels and see how fast it could come out of the lake into Mendenhall River, and then put out a forecast. And that one was pretty close. Again, we were just below minor flood stage, and it happened, it crested right around that, and right around the same time. So we're pretty happy with the forecast, and again, happy that there was not much impacts or damage.
Can you tell me a little bit about where we're at now with monitoring and predictions versus where we were maybe like 10, 12 years ago?
Well, 10, 12 years ago, that's when at least the one in Suicide Basin just started. And it was a kind of a surprise, a sunny day all of a sudden, all this water started to go into Mendenhall Lake and flooding. And now what we have set up is a group of cameras, or at least one camera that's set up, and we have algorithms that can show us when from the image to image, the differences. And the differences will show us how fast it's rising or how fast it's falling. And that can tell us when it's totally drained out or at least a slower drainage. And that's kind of what we're seeing right now. It's not as full as it was before because it drained some, but we're still seeing a little water drain out of Suicide Basin. And you can see that from those vectors from image from one day to the next and how that ice is actually falling very slowly. But we didn't have that information before, so we would actually kind of get up there in helicopters and try to see what levels it would be at and when it was releasing. But now with this monitoring system that we've set up, it's almost like a 24-hour eyes on it.
What kind of alert goes out to folks in the flood zone when they might be in danger, when their property or lives are at threat?
So what are the forecasters that the Weather Service will issue would be a flood advisory or flood watch or flood warning. And so a flood watch is, we're not too sure how high the water is going to get, but there's a very high probability that there will be impacts or some type of flooding taking place. Flood advisories for minor flooding, like inconvenience, like your yard getting flooded out or a driveway. But then if a warning thinks that there's going to be a threat to life and property, our forecasters will put out a flood warning. And that's when we really want people to take action and make sure that anything that they could get damaged or themselves get out of harm's way.
Do you feel like folks in the flood zone areas that would be kind of along the lake, along the river, are they well aware of the possibility of a flood this time of year and checking on those types of resources?
Yeah, from the people that do get impacted, it seems like they're fairly aware of these situations and the monitoring program that we have set up. And then also these warnings go out to area wide, so anyone would see it on a webpage. Hear it on the radio that there's a flood of warning advisory kind of out for these types of events. And so that type of interaction, that type of communication seems to make sure that people are in the know and with any updates that may come out, because there are a lot of unknowns with these types of events. And that's something that we're trying to learn more and more each year, but there are still a lot of unknowns within these forecasts. So as we can know, like sometimes the actual crest or the timing of that when a river or lake will crest will vary from what the forecast could say.
Ahead of this interview, I was looking at a great resource called the Story Map, and I'm sure you know a lot more about it than I do. I scrolled through it, and you kind of get the beginning. It starts in, I think, July of 2011, where that flood that kind of came out of nowhere hit the town, and then it goes from there. It talks a lot about what's happening up there. There's some great images, the source, how it formed, how it works, all the ways that you study it, and the future outlook. Can you tell me any more about the story map?
Yeah, so that story map was in conjunction with Alaska CAS, with the Alaska Adaptation Center, with UAS, and that kind of just took all the work that the team has done over the past 10, 12 years of from the very beginnings to what we've learned today, and tried to put that all together into one type of story map, or like a story of, so people can learn how, where we came from and what we have done so far. And there's been a lot of research within the basin of trying to come up with digital elevation maps, so we have an idea of how high the water is, and drone surveys to help with the ice movement in and out of the basin at the same time. So there's been a lot of work, a lot of research, and this story map just kind of brings it all together for an easy consumption of the public to have an understanding of what's happening in their backyard. Like, it just started again like 10, 12 years ago, so, and having this type of event right in your backyard for a scientist is really nice, because it is kind of close to do this type of work, and it's not as expensive as somewhere far away, and it also is impactful to people, so people are definitely interested in something like this.
So what was happening up there at the source prior to 2011, and then what changed to cause these glacial dam bursts?
So what happened was the Suicide Falls that is fed from the ice field kind of detached from feeding ice into that basin, and what left behind was filling, the ice was melting and water takes its place, and through time there was enough water in Suicide Basin to get enough water to lift up the Mendenhall Glacier and flow underneath. And that's in 2011 when we kind of saw the first big event, and through that time there was ice was leaving Suicide Basin from into the Mendenhall, because the ice was coming down from the ice field. But as that, through time, as that ice has stopped, now we're actually seeing ice move back into Suicide Basin. And so that complicates what's left behind in the basin, how much water, how much ice, and then that complicates the forecasting aspect of it. And then also the Mendenhall is shrinking, so the elevation of the water is also a little bit lower than what it was 10 years ago of the actual amount of water. And we've actually seen some water drain from the side basin off the side on the top. And so we've definitely seen a lot of changes within the basin from when it just started to now, and then even why it would start in the beginning, kind of looking back, well, why are these events taking place? And then seeing up river, up the glacier, so to say, and seeing if there's other basins that could in the future kind of do the same type of detaching from the other main ice fields and fill up with water and then causing these outburst floods.
What caused the Suicide Basin spur to detach in the first place?
A warming environment. So the warming environment, you have a less snowpack, less snow over time, and the glacier is just receding, like we've seen across the area, from not just receding back, but also shrinking.
My next guest today is Jim Powell. He's going to be talking about the Juno Climate Change Report.
Yes.
The Juno Climate Report. So did any of your research make it into that report?
Yeah, some of my other work I work with atmospheric rivers and heavy extreme precipitation. Mm. So I've been doing a lot of work of connecting atmospheric river events to landslide activity. And what we've seen over time is an increase in precipitation. And with heavy extreme precipitation, we're seeing a lot of a correlation that's associated with landslides. And that's one of the portions in that report.
Got it. So one of the things that I read at the end of the story map, there's a piece called Outlook, and that's where I learned that these floods may not be a super serious concern in the future, at least coming out of Suicide Basin, because it is getting thinner up there. So what does that mean for you? Does that mean you're out of a job?
Not necessarily. We still have to monitor it. You know, there could be a smaller amount of water being impounded by the Menhel Glacier. And just how much water can be retained within the basin. But it's not just how much water is in Suicide Basin. It's also what is the starting flow on the Mendenhall River. If the Mendenhall River is low and we have a release, yeah, we won't have much of an impact because the water won't get as high. But if the Mendenhall River starts higher, at a higher base flow, so from like snow or ice melt, or we have a heavy rain event or atmospheric river rain event, and then we have a glacier dam release on top of that. That's where we could probably get into some problems and cause some more significant flooding if they coincide at those two times. But overall, if you're just looking at a straight glacier dam outburst flood, for the most part, we're seeing that they will be on the smaller side. But another complication is how that water leaves the basin and gets into the lake. The more efficiently that water can drain from the lake, from Suicide Basin into Mendenhall Lake, the bigger, the higher the peaks are, the longer it takes for that water to drain out of Suicide Basin, the lower the peak would be and the longer the event would be.
Do you think, based on your research, there's potential for any kind of catastrophic flooding event in the next 10, 20 years? Please predict the future for me, Aaron.
It's really hard to say. It depends on if the right factors come together at the right time. We could see another record flooding event on the Mendenhall, but you need those right pieces to come together at the right time. Mm-hmm. And we did see that on the Taku last year. We had very high stream flows. We had an atmospheric river, and then we had a glacier dam release on the Taku River, and we had record flooding, record stages flooding on the Taku last year. So not saying it can't happen. There's always a chance, but those right pieces have to come together at the right time.
It seems to me with our changing climate, that a lot of unprecedented events that, you know, we've never really seen before or wouldn't have expected to come together all at the same time actually are happening. So I guess it is possible.
Yeah, that's something.
Or something that we haven't thought of before is possible.
Right. I think something that at least I've been fooling around with the idea in my mind and with some other of my colleagues is that we are in the land of extremes. Mm. Like this time and age that we're in the land of a warming environment that we are seeing a lot more extreme weather events, and I think we're going to continue to see more extreme weather events in the future.
Are there other glaciers around the state that also have this potential for Joculaps, for glacial dam outbursts, apart from Mendenhall, Taku, the ones in our immediate region?
Yeah, there are. There's a bunch in the Anchorage W Forecast Office area. There's also one down in Hyder. The Salmon River has one up on the same river from Summit Lake in southeast Alaska. But there's also one on the Skilak Lake and Snow Glacier up in the Kenai. There's one near Cordova, Berg Lake. So there are a bunch of them around. And as we're seeing more of the glaciers retreat and thin, and especially on these side margin basins, losing their glacier ice and filling up with water, we're seeing more of them actually form and new ones taking place. And I think that's going to be a case through the next 10, 20, 30, 50 years.
Do you network with the other hydrologists and meteorologists that are studying those as well?
Yeah. We also work with the Alaska Pacific River Forecast Center as an arm of the National Weather Service that puts together our river forecast. So we work closely with them within the forecast office here in Juneau, and then also we have my colleagues up north in Anchorage and in Fairbanks.
So, you know, kind of the theme of this interview was hidden water. Is there anything else about hidden water that you wanted to talk about, or anything I didn't ask you about, or things that you want folks to know?
Just know that there is this monitoring page that we do have up on the Weather Service page. So anyone who's interested in the topic or who has interest along the Mendenhall River or on the lake, you can access that. And if there's any questions or anything that you want to come up, please give us a ring, contact us. We're here to serve you guys.
What will you be focusing on the rest of the summer?
Atmospheric river research and getting ready for the fall rainy season, and making sure that the communities are ready to take action when action is needed.
Mm, like what?
Atmospheric river events, flooding events, landslides. So it's making sure that we have the right tools and the tools available to do the job that we're trying to do.
I have some questions for my next guest about that sort of thing as well.
Excellent.
All right. Well, Aaron Jacobs, hydrologist, meteorologist for the National Weather Service here in Juneau, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it was a pleasure to talk to you. I appreciate you answering all of my questions.
Anytime.